and welcome to A Drummer's Guide to the podcast, all about the things that it takes to be a professional musician, aside from actually playing an instrument. We're going to take that as a given. It's a never-ending process, so I would never, ever want to assume that there is an end point with that, because there isn't. Have I ever told you about this bass player I used to know? I mean, I still know him. Yeah, I just haven't run across him for a long time. But he had started playing bass, and we kind of were in each other's orbit occasionally. And after, like, I hadn't seen him for a couple of years, and I sort of spoke to him, and I was like, oh, hey, how you doing? How's the bass playing going? How's the learning the bass going? Something like that. And he went, oh, yeah, it's great. I learnt it all. And I just remember thinking, sorry, what now? It's the most hilarious thing I've ever experienced. Maybe not the most hilarious thing I've ever experienced. I think that's a bit much, but it was very funny and I will never forget it. And he's such a sweetheart, but I was just like, huh, that's interesting. You learned it all. Okay, cool. Good for you. So anyway, back to the episode, this episode. First off, I'd like to do the usual. I would like to thank the lovely Patreon subscribers. You guys supporting this podcast means the world to me. It's because of you I'm able to do it every week, and I appreciate you no end. I'd also like to say a second thank you to Ryland. So if you are watching this on YouTube, this hat is made by a lovely young man called Ryland from Spiderhead Designs. I've been in contact with his dad, Edmund Massey, for a while, and you know, you know when you just meet people and you just click straight away, you just get on, you're like, yeah, we're similar kind of people. And then his son basically makes these hats. And dude, this guy's a teenager and he's like got his own business and he's doing the thing. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And the hats happen to be absolutely gorgeous. So anyway, this is one of them that I'm sporting today. But hi, Ryland, and thank you so, so much for this awesome hat. I love it. I kind of love it. But anyway, let's get on to the episode. So today I would like to talk about job insecurity. The insecurity of being a professional musician. And part of the reason that I would like to address this is because the last 12 months in terms of my job and work has been absolutely insane. I mean, you literally couldn't write it. If you've been listening along over the past year, you will have there was an episode that I did called, I want to say, Real Time Change. And this was the moment that I found out, it was literally 2 hours after I found out that the Voice Kids wasn't coming back. So I've been doing that gig for 4 years, and basically it didn't get renewed, as in ITV didn't renew it for this year. So and I did an episode surrounding that and just what I was thinking and blah 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 blah. But let me tell you, this year has been bonkers, and I'm going to address something that I haven't spoken about yet, and I'm only going to touch upon it because I'm not ready to delve completely into it, but I will. So there's that. So the Voice Kids disappeared and I was like, all right, cool, fine, we move. And then I've been touring with Kim Wilde since 2018 as part of a double drummer setup. Me and Jonathan Atkinson, love Jonathan. We've worked together so much over the last, oh my gosh, over the last 10 years. 10 years. And anyway, it was a double drummer setup. It was meant to be only for the Here Come the Aliens tour for 2018-2019. I ended up sticking around for the Greatest Hits tour as well. But anyway, it came to 2023 and they were like, look, we can't afford to have two drummers anymore. And I was like, do you know what? That's fair. I had outstayed my welcome anyway, I feel like. Not on a personal level or anything, but it's just, I was only meant to be there for 2 years and I ended up staying for like 4 or 5. Poor people. That's so much fun. So anyway, that disappeared for 2023. Is that right? 2023? Yeah. And then almost a year ago to the day, this is going to be relevant in a minute, I actually separated from my husband. So just going through the divorce process, almost at the end of it now. So almost a year to the day. And The upshot of that is that I need to sell the house and therefore the studio. So, and I'm not going to be able to move to a new place with a new studio for now. So what that means is the studio is also going away. At least, I mean, I'm just going to say it's going away. I hope that I'll be able to bring it back at some point, but for the foreseeable, it's my remote recording side of my job is going to disappear, which is quite confronting. I'm not going to lie to you, but I kind of wanted to talk about this because I think it's just a really good kind of illustration of how volatile this job is and how everything can sort of change on a dime, basically. And like I say, I mean, this, in terms of the last 12 months, this is a much higher than average shift in every, well, not every, in most aspects of my job. Obviously, when I did that episode about the voice kids changing, I was sort of saying, well, that's fine. That just means I'm going to pivot into doing more studio work, which I have. But now I'm having to pivot out of studio work. And it's like, huh, okay. Well, that's a big change too. But I'm dealing with it. It's kind of, if you're listening, don't worry about me. I believe I will be fine. I'm, like I say, I'm the person that is like, I will find a way. I'm stubborn like that. So it's all good. But I just wanted to, I guess, express the importance of flexibility and versatility in your, in our jobs. It's not just about you, it's about all of us, about our jobs and how to kind of maximize that versatility. And let me, like, let's not get it twisted. I'm not talking about taking on like a bunch of different aspects of being a professional musician and developing them, like do it in a systematic kind of logical way. Don't do everything all at once, like choose one thing and sort of build that up a bit, choose something else, you know, build that up a bit. So in terms of what I will be pivoting into, I suppose, to kind of help my job security, I will probably be pivoting more into live work, I guess. And again, so I mean, I feel like live work is where we all start because it's just so much fun, at least the majority. I will say this was a fascinating thing that I found out about Aaron Sterling, right? So Aaron is a, oh, he's a beautiful drummer, he's a wonderful human, one of my favorites, and it was so interesting talking to him. I think I've mentioned this before, actually. So he was playing with John Mayer, and I met up with him, and I was like, dude, amazing show, like absolutely loved it, like your playing was just unbelievable, like just so, oh, it was awesome. And he was like, oh, thank you so much. And I clocked this kind of vulnerability about the way he said that, and I was like, are you not comfortable playing live? He's like, no, like I'm not used to playing on stage. I was brought up playing in studios, that's what I know, that is my domain. And I was like, whoa, that's a wild, like I just would never have thought that at all, not only because of the way that he was playing, because he's unbelievable, but I don't think I'd actually come across anyone at that point that had come from the studio background first, and I found it fascinating. So anyway, I don't know why I went into that tangent. Oh, yeah, live, right. So in terms of, yeah, the kind of security around my, well, how can I put this? Creating security through versatility. I think that's kind of what I'm trying to express here and how important that is. So in terms of live, I've played live since I was 11 years old. It's in my bones. It's kind of the thing that I will always come back to because it's the thing that I have the most experience in, you know, whether that's playing in pubs, whether that's touring. Yeah, so to me, that's always been the foundation of my job because it's just the thing that I've come from. It's the thing that I'm most au fait with, I suppose. So and within that there is versatility as well, because obviously there's playing on a regular kit, you know, acoustic kit. But in terms of creating more versatility within that role, over the years, I've done things like learn how to use electronics. So since 2012, I've been... No, 2011. 2011? 2010? 2011, I've been using electronics. And that was due to working with Tricky. And then Cher Lloyd was a massive electronic setup. And then the Thompson Twins was a full electronic setup. So, yeah, so that, again, it gives me versatility. And just starting with what was... So with Tricky, it was just a Multi-12 that I was using. So it's similar to the Roland SPD. SVDSX, similar bit of kit if you don't know what a Multi-12 is, and I gradually built upon that. So then I started using the Yamaha 900, DTX 900, that was used for the Cher Lloyd gigs, and that was kind of augmenting my acoustic setup with electronics. And then, like I say, Thompson Twins was a full-on electronic DTX 900 setup, like full-on. So I kind of learnt that skill of programming and how to play well on an electronic setup. And then in 2017, I want to say, I started working with Howard Jones, and Howard already had his drummer, Jonathan Atkinson, and who I've already mentioned in this episode. This is the Johnny episode. Hey, Johnny. So anyway, because he already had a drummer, I was sort of coming in, and Howard took me to one side and he was like, look, I really want you as part of the outfit. I recognise you're not... you are a drummer, first and foremost. But what I'd really like for your role to be would be kind of playing an electronic percussive setup, kind of standing up, very dynamic. And I was like, that is interesting. That is interesting. So I took the versatility... Well, I like to think that I sort of decided, let me become more versatile in my... kit playing by taking on this opportunity and, you know, really getting into this role of being an electronic percussive player. And it worked really well, just having that flexibility to kind of lean into what was needed was really, really good. You know, don't get me wrong, in the past, I think if I had been asked that asked to take on that role maybe 10 years previous, I probably would have said no. Not just because I wouldn't have the knowledge in electronics, but the thought of being a percussionist was a real sore spot for me, because it goes along with growing up as a female and just people assuming that when you said you were a drummer, they thought that you meant that you were a percussionist, didn't know what you were talking about. You know, there was this stigma that went along with it with me. It was a me problem. It was nothing else, really. And therefore, I would have probably said no. However, by that point, I was like, look, yeah, I need to work, and that is fine. And I will lean in, and I will learn, and, you know, I will create this role for myself. And I did, and it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. And then that kind of, I suppose, led into the work with Kim being the second drummer, because that kind of was a similar role. It was more on kit, but there was a lot of percussive elements, and they were both electronic percussion as well as acoustic percussion, and then actual acoustic kit playing as well. So it was kind of an amalgamation of all of it. But again, it's because I was able to have that versatility in my approach to what my role was that led me to be able to work and tour for 4 years with Kim. So there's kind of versatility within the roles that you kind of take on. And like I say, live was always the crux of my drumming. But then being able to add on these extra little bits, it just made me able to take on more work, therefore making me more versatile, therefore making my job slightly more secure in an insecure industry, of which, I mean, COVID, if COVID showed us anything, it was that. But again, in saying that, COVID also, because a lot of people did exactly the same thing, which was they moved into more studio remote work, which, again, I think as long as they were able, obviously, as long as they had the facility, because I recognise that a lot of people don't. Obviously, I'm about to lose the fortune and the very good fortune of having access to a studio, of having my own studio. You know, some people didn't have that, so they couldn't move into that. But a lot of people did. And again, it's this thing of just I'm going to make it work. And it's a common headspace that I find with a lot of successful creative people. In fact, just successful people, full stop. It's just like, I'll find a way to make it work. It's just, and that kind of attitude really permeates across the whole of their life. And I really, it's one of my favourite qualities about people when they're able to take on that kind of, I'll make it work, I'll find a way. I think it's such a beautiful quality, and oh, it's one of my favourites. So anyway, recording. So similar thing, it's just that creating another aspect of your career that you can lean in towards to be able to take on more work. And again, for me, it's been a godsend. It really has. First of all, leaning into it after The Darkness was great because I knew that I wouldn't be getting called for much live work after that, at least for a period of time. So I knew that I could sort of like put in the time, work out where I needed to be, what I needed to do. So that was back in 2016. And then once COVID hit, I already had a fully established business with clients that, you know, were constantly asking me to work with them, so that made me able to kind of like pivot towards that when COVID hit, when the live work dried up. Again, when it came to The Voice Kids and Kim drying up, again I could just move into the studio work, and that's been really, really great. Yeah, so that's been awesome. But then also, you know, at this stage I'm like, oh goodness, oh goodness, I'm about to lose the studio. So where do I pivot next? And I'm very, very lucky. Again, I just feel like the luckiest human alive sometimes, in that two things actually. So when COVID hit, I decided to pivot into helping other people with their remote recording businesses, because people knew how to record. We're all geeks. We all love delving into the minutiae of, you know, mic setups and tunings and like how we EQ and processing the drums or whatever instrument you're playing and then actually doing the recording. It's so much fun. It's so creative, creating the parts. Like, we love all that. However, all the other sort of like nuts and bolts of the business side of stuff, at least for me, it wasn't something that came naturally to me. It took a lot of educating myself, a lot of frustration, a lot of trial and error. And then when COVID hit, I was like, I know how to, I mean, look, there's always more to learn, obviously, but I have quite a good understanding of the basic baseline stuff that needs to be in place, and just understanding how to get clients and keeping clients and just creating a machine that helps you be able to do more of the creative fun stuff. And I just thought, I need to get this information out to other people. So I created this course, Remote Recording Business Course, which I've spoken about before. And that kind of made me realize that I actually really also enjoy helping other people getting to their goals. I know some people, it's so funny, some people can be such gatekeepers with like information and how to do stuff and blah, 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 blah. I have always been so the opposite. I'm like, here, take all the stuff, take it all. And I don't know why that is. I think it's because I find information gathering and trying stuff out a creative process in itself. But anyway, aside from that, it just made me realize that I really, really enjoyed, yeah, helping other people on their journeys and helping them reach their goals. And I've now, in the last, how long has it been now? 2 years, maybe? Maybe a year and a half? I've pivoted into doing like one-on-one coaching and mentoring. So when all this divorce stuff happened and the realization came that I needed to sell the studio, I just thought, okay, cool, right. What do I do now? Now what? And I now, because I already have a client base of coaching and mentoring clients, I can kind of pivot into that and put more energy into building that. Side note, blatant shout out here, a blatant ask. If anyone is listening and wants some one-on-one coaching or mentoring about like just being a professional musician and just helping you towards your goals, whether you're already in that realm and just want to sort of like, you know, go further with it, or whether you're wanting to break into it or whatever, come reach out, emilydrums.com. I'll be there. And I'd love to help you, of course. So yeah, a blatant ask. I don't do that often, I think, if ever, because I find it really cringy and embarrassing, and I don't want to be that person. But I look, it is what it is. I'm having to pivot, and maybe this is part of the thing of being uncomfortable. So yes, here we are. So yeah, but again, it's kind of this thing of like, I already have some experience, so I'm not too worried about pivoting into mentoring, because I've done it before, I've pivoted before, and I will again, and you know, but again, it creates this other strand of what my job is, creates a sense of security. And if I didn't have that, I think I'd be freaking out right now. But actually, I'm feeling really optimistic and hopeful, and I'm really excited about the future and what it holds. And I don't get me wrong, I think I'm slightly weird in that I do like the, let's call it the variety of this job, but the insecurity of this job. I kind of thrive on the chaos, weirdly, which is odd because in life I don't. Like, in my personal life, I struggle with that. I really do. I like to have a sense of control. But I suppose it's because it's within my career, it's kind of chaos within the control, if that makes sense. Like, there's a parameter, and then everything that's within that is absolute chaos, and I just kind of need to move with it and move with the times and work out what I'm going to do next. And I find it quite, like I say, creative and interesting and fun. So yeah, I think I'm very lucky in the respect that I do see it like that, which is great. So anyway, that's what I'm currently doing, is pivoting into more one-on-one mentoring and doing all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I think I just wanted to kind of address the fact that this job is, there's always a sense of the unknown, and I don't think we'll ever, well, we'll certainly never be able to predict what's going to happen. I certainly didn't think that I would be sat in the position that I am right now. In fact, you know what? I didn't think that I would ever sit in the position of owning a studio, ever. Ever. That in itself is amazing. And the fact that I've been able to do this for the last 8 years, well, that's pretty cool to me. I'm pretty proud of myself. And look, I really hope I get to come back to this soon, and maybe I will, maybe in a year's time or 6 months time even, I might be sitting here going, hey, guess what guys, I'm opening a new studio again. But equally, I might not, I might never have this opportunity again. And I mean, that's sad, that is sad. And because I've put so much love and attention and effort and time into building my studio, you know, the relationships that I have with my clients, by the way, which isn't going to stop, I'm still going to be bothering you and catching up with you and asking you what music you've been making. So sorry, you're not getting rid of me. But yeah, it's kind of, it is sad. But again, there's an excitement coming with the, and I've said this a few times before, the space that will be left for opportunity. I'm a big believer in that. When you leave space for stuff, mad stuff happens. I just think about a year ago to now and how my life has changed, not just in myself, but in my just day-to-day life. It's mad. I'll tell you this, I've never felt more human, and that's a really cool thing. It might sound, you might take that for granted. I realised I've never truly allowed myself to feel human. That makes me sound like a robot. No, I've been very guarded with myself, not allowing myself to feel certain things. It's interesting. Yeah, I've never been more myself as well, like, and more honest in how I greet the world, should we say. And do you know what? Part of that is to do with this. Part of that is to do with this podcast. And it's really interesting that there was another time where I was going through a lot of stuff, and that's when I started this podcast. And it's when I started feeling more accepting of myself. And then obviously I think it was over COVID, I stopped because I just was like, this is not giving anyone any value. I feel like I'm doing it for the sake of it, and therefore it doesn't feel right. But once all this once I started feeling more myself again, I started doing this podcast again. I find that really fascinating. I don't know, just in myself. I'm not even sure I'm making much sense anymore, but I hope this makes sense to at least one person, because yeah, it's that's the point of this, isn't it? That's the point of this podcast. It's me just spewing stuff at you and hopefully someone going, oh yeah, me too, I get that. I totally understand that. And I know that that happens because I get lovely messages from you guys just going, yeah. So anyway, in terms of other pivoting kind of situations for me, I think also I will be leaning into doing more masterclasses and clinics, definitely. I may even go into sort of traditional teaching, like one-on-one lessons. So, hey, if you're in the London area, hit me up in a few months. Let me get my stuff together first. I need to kind of settle first. Let me move. Oh, that's another point. So the house, it should be on sale by the time this episode comes out. Also, oh man, I'm going to have to sell all my gear. So if anyone needs any drums or any recording gear, get in touch. But yeah, so the studio won't be closed for another couple of months. But so if there are any people listening that wanted me to play on their drums, please get in touch quickly, because yeah, I've already let my clients know about this, so the spaces are filling up already. So do get in touch quick, ASAP. But yeah, so I will be, yeah, like I say, pivoting possibly, maybe. I'm exploring this idea of going into more traditional one-on-one teaching. And then there's also like other skills that I'm kind of just going, well, what if I went slightly outside of music? Because there's so many skills that I've picked up along the way. So in terms of things like social media, like, I wonder if there's something I could do with that that would be different, just as a sort of like another string to my bow, like just leaning into that more, but outside of just music. Or in terms of, I know I've mentioned I'm doing a psychology and counselling degree, maybe doing some volunteer work. Like, I really like that idea. Obviously, I need to earn a living as well, so there needs to be a balance. But all I'm saying is that I think that it's so important to have that versatility within playing your instrument and adding extra layers to what you do, and having not just transferable skills, but being open to rolling with the punches, as it were. And when opportunities arise, rather than going, I don't do that, you go, well, maybe I'm going to be doing that. Maybe I'm going to lean into that and use that as an excuse to up my game and create another aspect to me as a professional. And you just never know how these other skills will actually feed into you as a player, and actually be able to save you when the chaos ensues, which it will. It's inevitable. Like, I've always had it also in my head that, you know, I have this is okay, right? Do you want to know what my biggest fear is when it comes to being a drummer? My biggest fear ever is developing some sort of neurological problem, whether it be like Parkinson's or MS or something like that. I don't know why I've always had it, like this fear, or losing a limb, like just, well, even then you could still sort it out, but yeah, more neurological problems. And it's been one of my greatest fears, definitely. And I've always thought, if I lost my drumming, I'd lose everything. But actually, as I sit here now, I'm not scared of that anymore, actually. Not at all. And it's because I've been able to pivot into helping other people achieve their goals and get on their path. And that is, it's such a fulfilling thing that if I were never to play drums again, if I was never able to play drums again, I'd be really heartbroken. There would be a tough period of time for me, 100%. But to know that I can still be of value to people in this space, that is worth so much to me. And actually being able to do this podcast is worth so much to me. You know, being able to pivot again, I guess pivoting back to doing this podcast again has been a very good way of keeping me focused, grounded, feel like I can give back. Yeah, actually, and for that reason, I want to thank you. Thank you so much for, yeah, just keeping my head in the right place of like, yeah, this is why I do what I do, and I will come through this, and who knows what's on the other side of all of this. Who knows? And there'll be more chaos. Always. Life is chaos. Hey ho, let's go with it. Anyway, I'm going to stop rambling now, but I hope that you're keeping well. If you enjoyed this episode, if it connected with you in any which way, if you think that someone else would benefit from it, please do like, share, and subscribe with your friends, with your family, with your acquaintances, anyone really. And then if you'd like to join the beautiful people over on Patreon, please do go to patreon.com/EmilyDrums. That is patreon.com/EmilyDrums. And if you'd like to reach out for some one-on-one coaching or mentoring, go to emilydrums.com. So emilydrums.com/coaching. Anyway, I'm going to love you. I'm going to leave you. But I hope you're keeping well, and I will see you next time for another subject. All right. Mwah. See you later. Bye.